in 2 Chronicles, we see a prayer. And there's a line in this prayer. There's a line in this scripture which hits me right between the eyes, because it's at my weakest point. Those Irish kids writing those words don't know what they're doing. You know, Keith Getty writes them, and Kristen sings them, and she does so well. And singing in Christ alone, and the wrath of God was satisfied. And some song that Kristen was singing the other day, Christy put in my ear. What's the name of the song? I don't know what it was.
Consider the Stars.
What? Consider the Stars. And when you consider the stars, don't fear.
Yeah.
And we all have vulnerable points. But my most vulnerable point continues to be brought up in Scripture again and again and again. And I think if it's my vulnerable point, it might be yours as well. And we're going to see it coming through the life of Jehoshaphat. But I want to read in Ephesians before we get there. You don't have to turn to Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wednesday night, our Bible study was about fighting. And we have a lot of things we fight. We fight against Satan. We do in our own lives. We fight, as we looked at, like laying hold of our salvation. No, we don't win it, but we fight to lay hold of that. And we also fight against the schemes of Satan, as we see in the flesh or we see in the world. And he is crafty. And he has set up systems that are demonic in nature. They started in demonic, and they send their tentacles out. And those tentacles wrap themselves around almost everything that we see, everything we come in contact with. And if you take any concept or any principle of the Lord, you can see there's a 180-degree opposite concept, which is very popular in the world. And where that is, where good is called evil and evil is called good. The Lord says, for instance, to love, right? To love. We, in our world today, have misdefined love, and we're really called and we're really challenged. We're really tempted to hate. Jesus said, lay down your life. That's what a husband, so much time, husbands, we all do. We spend a lot of time on the wife verses. If the husbands would get the husband verses right, the world would change dramatically. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Laying down your life for your wife. The world, though, says, don't do that, because the tentacles of Satan has reached into marriage and said, it's about you getting self-actualized. It's about you getting your jollies. It's about you getting to be built up so that you are something that we have conceptualized in this world that is what a man is. Instead, lay down your life for your wife. Anyway, you can see everything that the Lord says, there's an opposite reaction. And in this world, it is preached loud and clear. 2 Chronicles 20, 1 and 2.
Yeah, it's wrong on the screen, so.
Yes, because I sent it out wrong, and Christy said, 1 Chronicles, which is a great chapter, does not have a verse 34. I said, that's supposed to be 2 Chronicles, but it's 2 Chronicles. Now it came about after the sons of Moab that the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Midianites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea. Now let's stop right there for a minute and let's think about that. How many times do people tell you something bad is about to happen? Something is coming against you. If we don't change this, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, whatever it might be. And there is fear all around, fear for everything. And by the way, we ought to be diligent, and we need to be in the fight. We don't need to just get along, we need to be in the fight. Now, let me say what I mean by that. We love everyone, but we do not allow people to take the Word of God and to water it down or change it. We get and we stand up and we devote ourselves to fighting for God's Word. We fight for justice. You know, Christian people, you know, and I get a little irritated with this because I don't worship the earth or anything, but Christian people ought to be the number one conservationist in the world. We take care of God's earth, right? That's not a Mother Earth thing or a green movement. That's a Christian thing. Christians ought to be first in the, you know, in line when it comes to little children. That's just been our tradition, and we are. We stand up for the unborn. We stand up for the born. We stand up for all the children of the world. And we ought to be leading in that. But in all of that, we get the news that the news is not good. They're coming to get you. They're coming to challenge you. They're coming to hurt you. So that brings me to 6 points I want to mention in this prayer. And the number one thing is this: identify your enemy. Your enemy is not Mrs. Jones. Your enemy is what is inhabiting Mrs. Jones. Using Mrs. Jones as a metaphor, right? Your enemy is not, and I won't even use political things here, but your enemy is not those folks. Your enemy is what is inhabiting those folks. We fight not against flesh and blood. We fight not against, and I could mention popular people in politics. We fight not against them. We fight against what is in them, and we fight against the things that are not seen. And it says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3, and I want everybody to look at your version, whatever version you're reading. I want you to read me the first, read that verse. Somebody pick up verse 3 and just read it aloud.
Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah.
Okay, alarmed. Somebody else read it, if it says something different.
Jehoshaphat was afraid.
Anybody else have something that's a little different take on that? I have Jehoshaphat was afraid as well. So he was alarmed. He was afraid. Can anybody identify with that right there? He was alarmed and he was afraid. I mean, you know, we take precautions all the time, which we should, because there is an inbuilt fear in us. They call me OSHA. You know, I'm Mr. OSHA. That's just who I am. I can remember to this day I had a calculator that was stolen. That's the only thing that's ever been stolen from me. But I remember getting a calculator stolen. And we still have $20. Jacob and I are missing from going to the mall one time. I don't know if anybody took it. But, you know, I can remember these violations, these little small violations. You say, hey, buddy, that's nothing. You know, but you can remember that. So, therefore, I'm a person who takes care to lock stuff up, to hide stuff. I don't have a lot of cash laying around the house, but I have a little bit of cash, and I've stepped at places, and every now and then I'll run across something. Look what I found! You know, it's in the third drawer, and I put it there for safekeeping, you know, because there's a fear somebody's going to be rummaging through my stuff while I'm gone and, you know, get this. You know, you get that. We get those kind of fears, you know. But I think about fears that we have that we can't do anything about. See, I think I'm going to handle all the booger bears in the world because I'm smarter than they are. Well, that may be true in some ways, but it's really not. But I think about Tracy. Tracy witnessed to me and Bill, their witness through Tracy's operation and surgery and situation. Did it witness to anybody else or is it just me? And I think about Tracy, and I prayed for her every day. And one thing I kept praying, I said, Lord, help her not to fear. And I'm sure she had a lot of fear in that. But every time I saw her, she had a matter of factness about her. Here's the situation. Here's what they're going to do. And she always had that Tracy smile on. Now, I got to tell you, if I were in the reverse roles, I would have had a long face on. Because it is not in me to not fear. And you know what I've realized? That is not the spirit God has given me. That's one of those tentacles that has reached into my life. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. But He's given me the power to overcome it. He's given me love where I can rest in His love, as we talked about out of Jude last week. And He's given me a sound mind. Now, let's use some other things. God has not given you the spirit of, and you mentioned something that's vulnerable to you. You don't have to mention it out loud. It may not be fear. It may be something else. God has not given you the spirit of, but He's given you power, love, and sound mind. So I think of Jehoshaphat, and I identify with this. He was afraid. Everything he had was going to be lost. Here he was. He was in charge of all these people. He had all these people resting upon him. He was afraid. I have taken a wrong turn here and there in big cities and been a little trepidatious. Does that have anybody else? Lock them up. Remember the vacation when Chevy Chase, they get off in St. Louis, to lock them up. You know? And I say, lock the doors, you know, because we're going to get out of here. You know? There are things that come up that make you afraid, and sometimes you can do something about that, and sometimes you're helpless to do anything. Tracy had the Lord. That's all she had. And he used, you know, Dr. Steller, this kid. I mean, he's a young kid. This great doctor, though, he came in and he was able to use his knowledge to help her. But there was nothing she could do except pray and leave it to the Lord. And I think about, you know, we could go around the room. We all have situations like, there's nothing I can do about that. So I will trust in the Lord and not be afraid. He also says in that, in Philippians, right? You know, when you have a situation, you're able to come to the Lord. You don't have fear, and He will guard your hearts. Now think about the sentries, you know, guarding our hearts, standing there. I will not let you be afraid. I will not let you to succumb to anxiety. I will not let you to succumb to the stress that Satan wants you to be under. Number two, do not be driven by emotion. So know your enemy. Know the enemy is not flesh and blood, but it's the powers, the principalities, the ruler. It's Satan. Let's just call it what it is. It is his systems. It is his demons. It's all the spiritual activity that he has let loose that bother us. Now, as we were talking the other day, a Christian can't be demon-filled, but he can have footholds in your life. Now, let's also be clear that there are people who aren't Christian can be demon-filled, and they are. And Jesus, man, there were so many times in New Testament where casting out demons, casting them out, right? We see that time and time again. And there are demons that are out there that are not even in people, but we see them at work. I sometimes wonder, how do people get from point A to point B? You know, this guy last week who, you know, was three or four murders in South Alabama, you know, they finally, you know, fenced him up and he killed himself and the lady, they took her into custody and stuff. Well, now, how did it come to that? I read with horror, and you do too, about accounts of abused children and so forth. I said, how did it come to that? And so we need in our prayers to identify the enemy, pray against him, but also do not be driven by emotion. I can be driven by emotion. Let's cut to the chase, be clear about this. Sometimes when things go well, you know, I'm moving along, you know, at the end of a ball game when it's over, you know, let's eat, you know, enjoy yourself. If it didn't go, baby, you know, let's just, you know, it can be something small as that, or it can be something good. You know, or something bigger than that. When things go well, we're all happy. But most of the time in life, we struggle against something. And the thing is, we're tempted to be driven by emotion. What are our emotions? Jehoshaphat, he had every right to be afraid. Three nations were coming against him. Three nations. We were talking, Benjamin and a few of us were talking about how in the world today, in our country, there is a definite division in lines, right? And it's almost Civil War-ish in the way things are going. But we did make the comment, well, we hadn't shown up at Shiloh yet and just started wholesale killing one another just yet, you know. So at least we got that going for us. But I can imagine the emotions that Jehoshaphat felt. Here I am, these people, I'm in charge of these people, and I'm going to be invaded from three sides. I am afraid. If I were at Bastogne, I would have been afraid. If I would have been at Gettysburg, I would have been afraid. Anybody else would have been afraid? I would have been afraid. Sometimes in my prayer life, I have to admit to the Lord, Lord, I am afraid. I am trying not to be anxious. I need you to help me not to be anxious. In James 1:19-20, This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. So we have other emotions too, right? We have the emotions of fear. We have the emotions of anger. I'm not going to be angry about this. I'm going to have holy anger. I'm going to let my anger be the anger of God, not anger that I'm just mad at somebody. I'm not going to hold those roots of bitterness. I'm not going to let my emotions get the better of me. And sometimes we allow our emotions to drive us instead of trusting in the Lord. Have you ever had someone say something about you or against you that was not true? Has that happened to anybody in this room? I guess we could all, right? Yeah, it has happened. And it is easy to want to go prove yourself and to straighten that out. And there may be the opportunity to do that in the right manner. But what we tend to do is get very emotional about that, and our emotions need to be in check. Lord, this has been an injustice toward me, but I will not be subject to my emotions. I'll be subject to you and your leading and your guiding. Think about Jesus. He had that happen to him. 2 Timothy 1:7, my verse. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of bitterness, but of power, love, and of sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of emotional reactions when somebody challenges us, but God's given us power, love, and a sound mind. You keep working that verse in any way that would benefit you. All of us are emotional beings. I want to tell you, I don't cry. I mean, I don't know what's happened to me. I guess I don't know if it turns, but I've never been a crier. I was sitting up, standing up here singing this ridiculous song, and the wrath of God was satisfied, and it just pounded me. And I was over here, not boo-hooing, but I was over here, man, I just thought about Jesus on the cross and the pounding he got for me. And then we started singing that beautiful Michael W. Smith, singing the words of Scripture there. And glory to God. And I started thinking about that. And I'm not an emotional person, but emotion came out of me. Emotion in the right way is beautiful. Emotionalism, though, is something that is really repugnant. You know, I've been in places, been in groups where, if you didn't have a big emotional let off, it wasn't really a successful Bible study or wasn't a successful service or something like that. Emotion doesn't drive us. Emotion can be a reflection, but it's not the driver. Number three, take your problems to the Lord. Some of us have, like I said, big issues. Tracy's going back to the doctor. We have court situations and dealing with. As a matter of fact, we got in our midst on Wednesday night. We got a couple, and here we got a couple. We got people dealing with children issues. And we have situations where we're trying to get James to full health. Not that we can do anything. We just pray for him and support him. We've got decisions to be made. We've got challenges that come our way. All these big issues that are just hanging in the air. Take the problems to the Lord. I don't want them. I do not want these things. I do not want them. God, this is your body. I'm going to take it to you. God, these are your kids. I'm taking them to you. I will do whatever I can. I'm going to be as smart as I can. I'm going to be up early, do everything I can do. But I'm taking the problems to you. And I will allow you to handle them for me. Look at what it says in verse 3 again. Jehoshaphat feared. He was afraid. And he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast for all Judah. I think about this situation where, here he is, Jehoshaphat, he gets fearful. And it says, he sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. I got a problem. I'm going to seek the Lord. In our prayer life, we can talk about prayer till the cows come home. But I want you to make sure you seek the Lord in every circumstance, both good and bad. I'm not going to put down the thing much, but I'm going to mention, prayer is not just having a little talk with Jesus. Prayer is breathing. It is breathing. It's what we are. It's who we are. We're connected to the vine. Bertie's doing a little thing about that this morning. She brought a lamp in, And she's going to have the kids, you know, light bulb out, and, you know, why the lamp won't turn on. They go, oh, yeah, plug it in, okay, and a light bulb. And, you know, we're to figure out how to get the lamp to really work. And that's a little analogy of being plugged into the vine. Plugging ourselves into the vine of John chapter 15 so that we are breathing in prayer. Jehoshaphat learned that the three nations were coming against him. He was afraid, but he instantly set himself to seek the Lord. He did not turn to his generals first. He turned to the Lord. He did not turn to man first. He turned to the Lord. Lord, I have an issue. As I read about John Wesley a few weeks ago, here he was standing in this place and he had this issue and he prayed to the Lord, Lord, I need your grace now. I need your grace to come into me now, to touch me in body now. So this principle of winning in battles of life and is to take our problems to the Lord. Lord, I want you to win the battle, not me. I want you to get the glory, not me. Prayer ought to be the first weapon we use whenever we face the battles of life. Usually it's the last thing we do. I've tried everything else, now I'll try the Lord. But we need to take that to the Lord in the first place. Jehoshaphat prayed. And you know what he said? In effect, he said, if you look at the verses that follow, God, I know you helped me in the past. I know you'll help me in the future, so help me now. And I remind the Lord of that all the time myself. Look at those verses. You said, if you just go down through that, starting at verse 6, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And he keeps on going. Basically, he says, Lord, you've done it before. I know you'll do it again. Would you do it now? And you know, I think we need to pray that. We need to remind the Lord. It's not really reminding Him, it's reminding us of our blessings in the past. Lord, there are so many occasions when You've touched me and You've healed me. So many occasions when You have delivered me. So many occasions when I thought hope was lost and You opened the door. And I know, Lord, You will do it again. I trust in You. And I trust in Your timing. I trust totally in You. Take your problems to the Lord. Now, I won't ask you to list those out, but I'd like for you to think, what are the two or three issues that you are facing right now in life? And I'm sure they're pretty big. It could have to do with kids. It could have to do with career, maybe relationships, maybe physically, whatever it might be. What problems are you facing right now? And are you willing to let these problems become the problems of the Lord? See, most of the time, we're not really willing to do that. We want to hang on. We want to hang on. And maybe that's another part of what Satan has created in his systems today. He wants us to hang on, and we want to hang on. And if you look at the TV, we've noticed this. It used to be when you watch TV, the most advertised thing on television was beer. Except during sporting events, you don't see beer commercials as much anymore. I don't see car ads anymore. You know what you see ads for? Pharmaceuticals. Everywhere. I can't watch Andy Griffith without getting away from pharmaceuticals. Who's got the money? There's the money there. Now, you know, let me not get on the thing, how we're thankful that the Lord has given us some medicine and so forth. But, I mean, it's an amazing thing when you stop to think about it. We have gone from a nation of eating, you know, what's the big my baloney has a first name, you know, those commercials, right? To everything is this. And by the way, if you hear those pharmaceutical commercials, by the time they finish the commercial, I don't take that. It'll scare you to death, you know. And so I think about that. And we have problem after problem after problem after problem. And you know how much of the time that you'll hear people say you're treating the symptom but not the root? In the Jesus world, we treat the root. Jesus comes, and you know, you think about the practice of sin and the principle of sin. And I mentioned this the other night. The practice of sin is when we commit sin. The practice is somebody steals something. That's a sin. The principle is there's covetousness in your heart. You know, I hadn't stole it, but I want to steal it. I hadn't stole it, but I sure would rather me have it than them. And so the Lord comes not to keep us from practicing sin only, but to wash us on the inside from the principle of sin. I don't want to just withhold. I want to be a new person. I want to be cleansed from the inside out. That brings me to number 4. Admit that you need help. Now, I don't know, if you get to the place, when you admit you need help, sometimes that's hard to do. It's probably harder for men to do than it is women. I don't know. Maybe that's not true anymore. But, admit that you need help. I need some help. And, we don't do that too much, and especially with car issues and so forth, because, you just want to know how to do that, but admit that you need help. Look at verse 12 of chapter 20. We are powerless before this great multitude who's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are fixed on you. Have you been in a situation where you are powerless? I have no power here. I can do nothing about this. Nothing. But my eyes are fixed on you. I cannot change this situation, but my eyes are fixed on you. I cannot tell you what that person is going to decide and it's going to influence me, but I have my eyes fixed on you. As you lay there in the hospital, I cannot change this, but my eyes are fixed on you. As I stand and somebody is judging my talents, whether I get this job or not, I cannot change that. I only have laid out what I am, but my eyes are still fixed on you. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble, James 4:6. And I want to tell you, one of the places we can start by being really humble is admitting we need the Lord. I need the Lord as my Savior. I cannot accomplish what He can accomplish in me, and I need Him every day. I cannot do it. I cannot. I used to think I could, but I cannot. Lord, I have a problem. I need your help. There's only one kind of person that doesn't need God's help, and that's the person who has pride. And the Lord resists people who think they need no help. He resists the proud. Number 5, rely on God's power. In verse 12 again, Lord, I don't know what to do, but He added, but our eyes are on you. Rely on God's power and not your own. Number 6, relax in faith. And I really want to hit this. I don't have time to hit it, but think on this. Verse 15, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Is that not great? What a great line Jehoshaphat came out. When we get down to it, we're going to relax. We're going to relax. Jesus was relaxed when they were on the sea and there was a storm. They had to wake Him up. Now, you've seen those boats. They're not huge boats, but there was a little hull area and He's down there, taking a nap. And He's sleeping. And you can imagine the waves hitting and the boat tossed to and fro. And they had to wake Him up. Aren't you even interested that we're about to die here? How can you be oblivious to us? We're bailing water out. We're going to capsize. It's it. This is it. This is the end of our days. And you don't even seem to be interested, Lord. The Lord was asleep. If you can sleep through the storm, you've gotten to a place where you put the problems on the Lord. You started to relax in faith in Him. I trust the Lord. I trust you. As you have received Jesus Christ, the Lord, so walk in Him. And I think I put down a couple of verses you can read later. God will take care of it. Give the Lord your issues and relax. Just relax. Is relaxation hard for you? Just relax. Relax in the Lord. The word actually in the scripture that would be used would be rest. I think you understand relax. Just relax. Rest on the Lord. He's got it. Now, I want to close this series on prayer real quick and thinking about the words that Jacob read that Jesus prayed for us. And He mentioned two things in that prayer. He prayed that we would be united in love and that we may share in God's glory. As you pray, you share in God's glory. As you pray, you unite with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as you unite with Him, we start to be bound together in spiritual ways that cannot be processed outside of the supernatural. We are bound together in unity, and we get to share in the glory of the Lord. I want the Lord to receive glory for everything in life. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Lift His name. Let us be men and women of prayer, trusting in the Lord and giving Him glory. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the words of Scripture. Thank You for this last example, at least in this series, of prayer from Jehoshaphat. Lord, we don't get away from prayer because it's who we are. It's where it's our breathing. But I think about Jehoshaphat and how that Old Testament prayer, and it talked about even the Spirit of God came upon him. And he prayed in the Spirit, even way back then. And I pray that You will help us to pray in the Spirit, trusting You, letting the Holy Spirit prompt and guide our prayers, and help us in turn, after we have prayed, after we have released our emotions to You, to learn to relax and rest in our trust of You. Glory to God. Amen and amen.